The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Open line, man in line today. Call 66 13 68. Text 166 177. WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio@manxradio.com. Lots came up yesterday, didn't it? There are all sorts of things that we were going to talk about, but yesterday it was all about the religion in schools, and should religion be in schools, and what's the dividing line between religious knowledge? What did Daphne Kane MHK called it? Religious literacy, as it were, to know about religion. So that really took a lot of the programme over yesterday, but some more questions came in, which I'll get to later on. In the meantime, Big John Ramsey. John Ramsey, is that your surname or where you are, Big John? I watched a programme about wind farms in Germany, and I'm totally convinced it's the best way forward. Although there might be a five-year period of paying back the initial installation and purchase back, they're a very viable financially and environmental way of producing electricity. And the biggest plus that we leave a better environment for future generations, says Big John Ramsey. And thanks for your opinion on that, Big John. Good to hear from you. Thank you for that. Yesterday, why is the Isle of Man government selling millions of pound in foreign aid? This is a message in from 854. 854, purely because it's in the rules. That's what we do. We send a certain amount. We commit a certain amount for... And, of course, all sorts of stuff goes off the Isle of Man anyway. All sorts of stuff from Manx Care, sort of hardware goes and what have you, old beds. If you've ever seen the turnover in beds at the hospital, they go somewhere, and usually it's to third world countries. Come hell or come high tide, you can't walk on the beach at Killeen because of sea defences, says Peter. Thanks for that. RE is necessary to a basic knowledge, as is history, and I believe the two subjects, as CC, emerge together and will give a better understanding of the world and how different countries do have different cultures. We have our strong Christian faith here. All we need to do is to understand our own human rights, which should be taught in any school by any modern secondary education, says CC. Thank you, CC, for that opinion. Whenever you mention religion, of course, there are opinions in the middle, but opinions on both ends. There are some people who are evangelical regarding religion, and some people who are completely agnostic, atheistic, and don't much care for religion. It's true. And people always trot out the argument that religion has caused many wars in the past and many conflicts. Now, the same might be said that religion has healed some conflicts. The children are learning too much. This is WhatsApp of 475. Only on the Isle of Man would a measure to broaden the knowledge base of children about other religions be regarded as an assault on children's ability to learn. I'm an atheist, says Sue, but I have a GCE in RE. That dates you, Sue. A GCE, it was taught as an historical subject, and people getting hysterical about Christmas being cancelled should remember that Christmas used to be a pagan festival. I resent being lumped in as part of the Christian country. I think it's an outdated cliche, says Sue. Yes, we're just think of it as the winter solstice, the exchange of presents at the winter solstice. And I think, and again, this is 768, I think teaching an overview of main religions, including Christianity, as just one of them, is healthy. They should also include the fact that many people don't believe in a God. I don't think Christians are persecuted at all. It's not just forced on children as fact anymore. Atheist MHKs probably just put up with prayers out of respect for tradition. Learning about other religions isn't encouraging children to take them up, as it's giving them information to let them make their own choices. That's H. So do you think atheist MHKs just sit there gritting their teeth because of it? I mean, we are, and again, as has been mentioned, Christianity, the church, is built into our constitution. Crikey. It's built into our national anthem. So is this just because we're drifting away from organized religion, or religion's fragmenting? What is it? Is it the Church of England is just not as much in touch with the modern world, or hasn't modernized enough to be relevant to people? I'd be interested to see what your thoughts are. Cash is king. They want us to be controlled by their digital analytics system called the Superhighway, part of Agenda 2030, says CC. I have no idea what you're talking about, Christian, but do send me more details. That chap was spot on. So we need to get a grip on our government before they sign us to any more laws without our say-so. And a message in that just says, I can't see children from other faiths attending religious-based education in school. That's Ed. Presumably, Mrs. Kane isn't working too closely with Mr. Smith in Garth, given his religious interests. Well, it's no secret Mr. Smith is a Salvationist. He's in the Salvation Army. I think he's in the band as well. And thank you, John, who just said, for anyone wishing to understand any religion or belief system, please see Monty Python's Life of Brian. I see. Sophie's on now. Hi, Sophie.
Oh, hiya. Sorry, I've not come on for a moon or nothing like that, but I just wanted to talk about parent and child baby parking. Just because I've noticed, like, I've got a baby, and I just notice a lot of the time that people use these spaces, like, freely, and you can see them getting out and they've not got any kids with them. And I just sort of thought, like, is it just ignorance from people? Like, they just don't realise, you know, there's laws, you've got to have these big car seats now to put your baby in.
Whereabouts in particular have you seen this, Sophie?
Well, I've literally just been in B&Q this morning, and it's a beautiful sunny day. There was loads of car parks everywhere. And then there's four parent and child, and I've parked up, and I've literally, just in the time that it's taken me to get the pram out, I've seen like two or three people come in and out of it. Not one of them's got a kid with them. And, you know, if it's raining, or, you know, or if perhaps someone's disabled and there isn't a disabled space, I could understand it, but I just don't get it. And I just wonder, is it just like a lack of, is it ignorance? Is it, it's so difficult to get your baby in a car seat in and out in a normal car parking space. You have to end up climbing over the back of the car seats and things sometimes.
So they've either not noticed or they're not bothered, Sophie.
Yeah, just wonder, like, if I've not come to moan. It's just a sort of, if there's anybody listening who's just never thought about it and just pulled up, like, please just give a bit of consideration for those of us that are struggling to get our kids in.
Well,
out of the car.
I'll be honest with you, you've hit on one of my bugbears. Not particularly mother and child, but it's also people who park in disabled bays who are not supposed to. And we never, ever, never hear of anybody ever getting prosecuted for this. And the fact is that, you know, having a child, and certainly in some supermarkets, there are mother and child, or there are, you know, parent and child spaces and what have you. And again, you do see people just slide in and then jump out and walk in without a child. So
I just wish they'd put them further away, because I think anyone with kids is happy to walk any distance, you know, to get to the supermarket or wherever it is, because they're near the door a lot of the time. I think people think, oh, that's quick for me to get in and out. But if they put them further away, then perhaps people wouldn't use them. I think anyone with kids are not bothered. You're not bothered about walking with the pram. You just want the space to physically get the door open.
Sophie, I'll be honest. I think they think nobody notices. I think they think I'll just nip in, put my head down, and nobody will notice.
Yes, sorry. So I probably have come for a moon, but just thought, something different, isn't it? You probably don't get many.
It's perfectly justified, and it comes under the heading of antisocial behaviour, because it's somebody thinking that their convenience, if you like, is more important than other people's, you know, special place. So I'm in a bit of a hurry. Never mind. It's a mother and baby. Nobody's around. I'll just park there. Nobody will notice.
Yeah, just hoping maybe even one person listening might just think twice and just think, oh, you know what, actually, I'll just park in a normal space.
Well, let's
maybe, you never know.
Yeah, let's hope we shame them. All right, Sophie, good to hear from you. Thanks for that.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Bye. Have you spotted this? And again, I'll jump on my soapbox just regarding disabled parking bays and the people who park in disabled parking spaces when palpably there is no blue badge, or they park so close to a disabled space that it takes part of it. And of course, they'll say, well, I'm not in the space, but you may be overhanging it. And maybe it's difficult then for a person who has a disability to park in that space. Yes, and now that the DOI has got parking wardens who are marching around here, there and everywhere, maybe it's time to start charging people, fining people who park in a disabled space or park in an overhang to a disabled space. Then, possibly, you see, nobody ever drives through a red light knowingly, do they? Because they know it's against the law. You shouldn't do it. It's not really good. You can hurt people and you get points on your license. So maybe we should make incorrect parking just like a red light. Don't do it. Otherwise, you'll get nicked. And it would only take the first dozen people to get fined £1,000. And supposedly that's what can get levied if somebody incorrectly parks in a disabled parking bay. It would only take the first dozen people to get £1,000 fine. And I guarantee nobody would do it again. Nobody would do it again. And just like Sophie said, with mothers, parents and children who are parking in, parent and baby spaces, to find somebody else just sliding in because they're in a bit of a hurry. Antisocial behaviour. Can you find out why Onken has small, pathetic Christmas trees? Disappointed Onken ratepayer. They probably say they're saving money. Surely the question on the census is not applicable. I was personally christened as a Methodist, so my answer would not have been as such. But I'm not a believer in religion, mostly due to life experience. So I don't think being Christian means you practice it, says Brian. You know the saying, says Desmond, the hand that rocks the cradle. Tell me the rest of it, Desmond. And a message in regarding, I fully agree with Sophie. Ignorant drivers use these parent and child spaces. They're lazy, possibly because they can't park their big cars in a normal space. I think they retake their test or buy a smaller car, says Jen. Now, this will become ever more important as we get closer to Christmas. The rot set in when we stopped Christian practices in our schools, from singing hymns to saying the Lord's Prayer first thing in assembly. And if other religious faiths don't like the Christian faith, well, they don't have to stay here, says Gary in Ramsey. It's a bit extreme, isn't it? The problem with parent and baby or disabled parking spaces being taken up at Tesco is the fact that it's still ShopRite's land. Tesco only rent the building. ShopRite don't want to enforce their private parking restrictions because they've cut back so much, really. What's it called now? Isle of Man Enterprises, isn't it? The people who own ShopRite. So Tesco's hands are tied. And obviously police can't enforce it because it's private land. So what's the point? What's the point of putting a parent and baby or disabled parking space if, some people just aren't going to take a blind bit of notice? A lady called to ask drivers to drive responsibly when it's very wet around town. She was out yesterday and got soaked when a car drove quickly past her and through one of the big areas of standing water. It's not funny. It's not clever. I walked along the prom, says this correspondent, last night. It looks depressing. We used to have lovely Christmas lights alongside the festoons. It was such a good thing to see. Now it's all ruined. We've let them get away with murder, says Tony. We did get a response from the Douglas City Council last week when we were talking. I think we put a question in, and we're a radio station. We love people to talk to, and we offer people the chance to actually speak on the air, but they sent us a piece of paper for us to read out, and it's this. Traditionally, Christmas, this is from Douglas City Council. Traditionally, Christmas lights shine brightest in the heart of our city. Our festive display stretches across the recognised city centre from Strand Street and Prospect Hill right through to the terrace and the quay. We also light up the cultural quarter to mark the vibrant edge of the city centre near the Gaiety Theatre. our approach is consistent with how most towns and cities concentrate on their festive... Where? Concentrate their festive lighting in central retail and cultural areas in the community. So the lady who called a couple of days ago and said that past Castlemona Avenue, you can whistle Dixie, really, because it's not the central area. And that's all. The fact that it used to be the central area and that we used to have lights there, of course, it's new readers start here. That didn't exist at year zero. And I don't know whether you've seen going up Prospect Hill. There's one pink heart illuminated on every lamppost. It's somebody's idea of festive, isn't it? Castletown commissioners have been thinking about this. They see that Castletown needs to be maximised, the space that it has to encourage people to visit. Now, the local authority, Castletown Commissioners, published its proposals for the future pedestrianisation of Market Square after a six-week public consultation over the summer. Chair of Castletown Commissioners, of course, former MHK, former Chief Minister, Tony Brown, says 35 respondents. Some of them had firm views on what they wanted to see in the square, including the new Easter closure. If you live in and around Castletown, you need to pay attention.
Well, we had ideas ourselves, which we set out in the consultation, and we invited the public to add anything or to let us know what they thought. And that was a six-week public consultation which we undertook, which I think was helpful to people to understand what we were trying to do, why we were trying to do it, and explain the options we could use the square for. So we went to some lengths to explain our thought process, and then we gave 6 weeks. We got all the consultation views in, the comments in, and we then had a meeting to sit down and go through each view that was submitted, as well as people who'd spoken to us, and put together what we hope is a practical way forward where the square can be used for the benefit of Castletown, not only in the summer but also in the winter. We had a number of issues that were raised were actually, if I like, periphery to what we're doing, and we've made recommendations for highways to improve signage and to make some other changes that we think are necessary. One of the big things that came out of it was to actually have an Easter period. Now, as we all know, Easter moves. Some Easters can be really nice, some Easters can be terrible because of where they fall and because of the weather. And then, of course, we've got our visitor period, winter period. We've confirmed what they will be. We extended the area. We've now gone to the 1st of October, because a number of people felt that the 1st of September was too short. And we're also conscious that we still have visitors coming in, and we still have cruise ships coming in. So we took on board those comments, and in consideration, we put that into our views, which we now have to transmit to the Department of Infrastructure Highways. Hopefully get these put into legislative terms to enable it to happen.
How will your square closure differ from the one of the previous board?
Well, because it will recognise that in the winter there is no reason to keep the square closed off to vehicles. I mean, we have limited resources in Castletown. It's a small town.
And we have to maximise what space we have to attract people to come into Castletown.
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Castletown is hemmed in. Now, there will be a development on the old Buchan School site. There will be, but Castletown is hemmed in because of the boundaries of the town. So, and it's worth saying, this is not to denigrate anything, but the shopping in Castletown is not what it used to be. Now, that may be just because of the economic cycle. Lots of shops have gone. The banks have all gone. There used to be three banks in Castletown. They've all gone. So something clearly has to happen, and obviously the commissioners are tasked with doing something about that. If you live in and around Castletown, if you used to perhaps make a detour to Castletown to park in the square and to do a bit of shopping, maybe have a cup of coffee, maybe have a wander out to the coast there, just wander down by the old schoolhouse and take a look at the sea. But you don't anymore, simply because you couldn't park there before. Or to park, it was more difficult. Obviously, now there's the Costa Coffee right next to the harbour. Attracts a lot of people. But what's to be done? What is to be done? Because Castletown used to have a fairly vibrant commercial heart. And it just isn't what it used to be. Any thoughts on that? Thanks to 382, who just said, Andy, parking permits. Now, a blue badge holder is only for the person on the licence and not for any other family members. I nearly got hit by a push biker the other night. He was travelling on at speed at the junction in the worst weather with no visibilities. His front light wasn't visible. So, cyclists, please get larger light. And the cyclist will tell you, thank you, 382, that it's always the kind of rogue cyclists who let everybody down. The cyclists who at night or first thing in the morning ride around without any lights on. We've seen them. Well, sorry, we haven't seen them. They just appear out of the cyclists who in the winter don't wear any high vis. I'm sure it's a tiny, tiny, tiny minority, but that's the problem with minorities who transgress. You notice them. Question for Douglas City Council. Why is their fancy three legs light outside the sea terminal not lit up like they said it would be? Also, Douglas City, says Andrea, includes the promenade. It's used by everybody. The lack of festive lights is very disappointing, and whoever responded should hang their head in shame, says Andrea. Well, it was a piece of paper. They sent a piece of paper. Somebody wrote it, but it was a piece of paper. We, as a radio station, I have to tell you, we love people to speak. So we put microphones and phones in front of all sorts of people, and then they speak. And then they can have, you know, they can have their say, like you can, by calling. My son repairs damaged cars, and a lot of drivers are very fed up with narrow parking spaces, says Liz D. Well, Liz, there's two ways of looking at that. I agree with you. There are narrow parking spaces, but cars are a lot bigger than they used to be. I mean, the old-fashioned Mini must have been half the size of what the Mini is now. The Mini's hardly a Mini now, is it? I mean, Everton fans will know Duncan McKenzie used to jump over Minis. Just a quick question, says John in Colby. Did that guy who was talking about the wind farm, does he know the proposed Orsted wind farm is to supply 1.5 million UK homes from the Isle of Man? In my opinion, renewables are needed, but at scale. Infrastructure here needs improvements, and it's a monopoly. Grid access required for the community to feed their own green energy in. Green energy is being wasted at the moment. This is need over greed. Interesting point. We paid, what, 29p per kilowatt hour. What do you get if you sell the electricity back to Manx Utilities? Is it 9p per hour? Bit of a buyer's market, isn't it? Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Speaking of green, I noticed you had a news article a couple of days ago talking about the rejection of the North and West Area Plan. And it referred to a statement from the Isle of Man Green Party leader, Andrew Langer-Newton. I thought Lamara Crane was the leader. Is she gone then?
Don't know, but obviously Mr. Langer-Newton spoke.
Right, okay. Because it doesn't say anything on their website, and Wikipedia shows a dated post, so it'd be kind of nice to know that Andrew Langer-Newton is now the leader of the Green Party.
Calling the Green Party, who are you?
Yes, yes. I also noticed on their page about meetings, all the calendars are blank. So if you do decide to join, I don't know how much value you get out of it when it doesn't actually say when the meetings are. Heard a couple of mentions of offshore wind. I noticed that, for example, the offshore wind auction, where the prices are set for how much these wind companies get for generating electricity, currently at the moment, gas is at £73 for every megawatt hour generated, and the latest allocation round, number 7, has been forced to increase the offer up to £113 for offshore, which is 55% more expensive than what it costs to get electricity from gas. So that's kind of expensive. When we're hearing all these calls for we must have offshore because it makes economic sense, why is it that they're being basically paid 55% more than a gas producer? It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense from an economic point of view.
Politics, Julian. Politics.
Trouble is that that doesn't always necessarily go so well. And the reason to do it, apparently, is to do with this 1.5 degree warming in the world and trying to avert it. I notice, if anyone looks for the Australian Government's Bureau of Meteorology page, it noted yesterday that Canberra Airport reported an overnight summer temperature of minus 0.3 Celsius. That is the coldest overnight measurement since records began 101 years ago in 1924. And also snow in Tasmania in the middle of summer. And also Hulunbuir City in northern China hit minus 42.7 yesterday, which is unheard of this early on in winter. Well, so if we're talking about trying to stop warming.
Going back to the, I mean, what is it? Is it summer yet in Australia or is it their spring?
Well, it's pretty much in their summer now. I mean, you know, the middle of our winter soon, isn't it? So,
yeah, actually,
when you're
yeah,
below freezing.
2 weeks on Sunday is the summer solstice, winter solstice, so yeah.
And that's clearly on the Australian Government's Bureau of Meteorological data page. So that's kind of interesting that it's that cold if we keep getting told that we'll never see snow again, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, the... And, you know, still, Ørsted share price is tanking all the time, despite them trying to sell off their assets like Hornsea 4, mega wind farm east of Norfolk. So you've just got to wonder, you know, the fact that they're being offered 55% more money to generate electricity out of those turbines than it costs to do it from gas, that right there completely puts a hole in the whole argument. And also, you remember those two FOIs I mentioned some time ago, Andy, which showed that it costs 9.3 pence a unit to make electricity on the island from Pullrose, but it's almost 18 pence to draw it from the interconnector, which is green certified. So it's twice as expensive to pull the electricity from England than it is to make it here.
It will be nice, because at the moment, as far as you know, we, the general public, the hoi polloi are concerned, this is all an abstract notion. This is all, if you like, I'm not going to say smoke and mirrors, but it's akin to that, in that we don't know the granular detail. We have no idea how much Ørsted will pay us. I mean, the government obviously has, presumably. They've negotiated a fee to rent out our seabed, but we don't know how much it's going to cost. We don't know how much whether we're going to get a discount on electricity. We don't know who's going to pay for the interconnector from Preston to Groudle if the wind farm goes ahead. So this is all abstract to us. We're being told that this is good for us and it's great in the future and it's all going to be absolutely wonderful. But we don't know the detail. And I've always found that the more you know the detail, the more you know the granular stuff, the more obvious the case becomes. So you just went, and presumably Ørsted would like to tell us, but, you know, either they're being stopped by the government or what have you, because we don't quite know. So at the moment, we, the public, are kind of taking the government on trust where this is concerned, with this and Erie Stain as well, Julian.
Well, that's right. And, you know, if you look at past performance, if they're saying now, I mean, you know, it hasn't even put a spade in the ground hardly yet, and you're looking at an increase from 23 million in a Manx Independent newspaper estimate for the wind farm in 2023 to now over 40 million. So it won't come as a surprise to anyone that it goes over 100 million, 120 million for that. Then you've got an interconnector, which the current going rate is about 2.3 million pounds a kilometre, and it's around 100 and something kilometres to the UK. So you're looking at 230 million to bring an interconnector over from the UK that is now approaching the times when they keep warning about blackouts because they have to keep pulling extremely expensive electricity from their interconnectors because they've become very dependent on Belgium, Norway and France. And yet, if we wanted to put two new gas turbines in at Pullrose and then swap out the heat exchanger steam generator that gives us a free 23 million watts of power just from recovery from the smokestack, you know, the chimney, that would be somewhere around 50 million. So you could future-proof the electricity grid here with absolutely reliable, and we know this because it was put in 2003 and it's been perfect since that time, no blackouts that I remember, for 50 million. Or are we going to spend over 100 million on a wind farm and 230 million plus on an interconnector?
We'll find out. All right, Julian, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
24 minutes now before one. This may be completely academic. It may be that the offshore wind farm will make perfect financial sense. Maybe that we're quids in. We just don't know yet. It may be that we get a fortune, an absolute fortune, for renting the seabed, and that we get a deal on the electricity, and everybody's happy about that. We haven't heard yet anything from the British government on the fact that the electricity will be effectively be generated in foreign waters. It's going to be generated in the Isle of Man, sent back to the UK, and presumably the contract for difference will be negotiated with the British government. So the British government will be negotiating a contract for difference, i.e. the kind of buffer payment, for something that's going to benefit the Isle of Man. Haven't heard yet, have we? See what I mean by an abstract notion? I'm with Sophie. I've noticed lots of times at Tesco in Lake Road, I've noticed lots of times people parking in the parent and child spaces without children. I've got a young daughter. It annoys me when I can't park in a child space and I see somebody parked up without a child. Thank you for the photo, Selena. These are the two parent and child spaces at the NSC. The red cars are parked in them, leaving a space in between. The white car decides it's small enough to park in it. I couldn't get the baby seat in the car. Ironic, they were visiting a sports centre, but couldn't be bothered to walk just a little bit further. Thank you, Selena. Good to hear from you. And a better use of all the demands on the curriculum is to concentrate on the three R's, says Anthony. Reading, writing, arithmetic. This will improve self-esteem and give school leavers more confidence when they start in the workplace. Merry Christmas, kids.
Calling all Manx farmers.
Manx Rock Limited now offer an all-in-one line spreading service. Manx Rock supply, deliver and spread your line. So make life easy. Get in touch today. For rates and to book your line spreading slot, call Manx Rock now on 828845. That's 828845. Or visit Manx Rock Limited on Facebook and see what we can do for you. Visit the New Look Cafe Villa and sample the new menu. With disabled parking right outside the door, Cafe Villa is the perfect spot to park up for hearty breakfasts, pancakes, baked potatoes, delicious mains, award-winning ice cream and much more. Using local produce where possible and supporting local producers. With seating inside and out and a stunning sea view, it's a relaxing spot. New look, new menu. That's Cafe Villa on Douglas Prom. Open 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. every day. With easy disabled parking spaces at the front entrance.
Manx Petroleum is here for you this winter. For the family makers, for your hard workers, for the helping handers, we offer vouchers for heating oil and road fuel. So who do you know would welcome the gift of warmth and mobility this winter? For family, friends or employees, Manx Petroleum vouchers will see them through. Manx Petroleum, always here for you. Heating and road fuel vouchers are available now by calling 691 691.
New year, looking for a new you? Here's the perfect challenge. Entries for the 2026 Manx Telecom Parish Walk are now open. Make this your best New Year's resolution. Sign up today at parishwalk.com.
Coming up, we have another winning weekend here on Manx Radio. And this weekend, courtesy of Ramsey Town Commissioners, you can win £200 to spend in Ramsey Town. Whether it's a garden centre, coffee shop or an eclectic store, you're sure to find a unique Christmas gift in Ramsey. To win, all you need to do is listen out for our winning question, which we'll ask on air right across the weekend. And once you've heard it, text your answer to 166 177. Make this your winning weekend Weekends with Ramsey Town Commissioners and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 19 minutes before one. Faster my good afternoon. Certainly is a better day regarding the weather than it has been lately. Have they sorted out the sale and rail at the steam packet yet? There was a guy tried to book a sale and rail ticket for December but got upset when he couldn't. Apparently it was because National Rail hadn't uploaded rail fares for December on their server. So is that okay? Have you booked a sale and rail on the steam packet? Is it working now? We'd like to know. Next week, tomorrow, by the way, we're going to be live in Peel at Queen Elizabeth High School with the year 12 and 13. And a week on Friday, the Chief Minister will be on. Friday 12th, Alfred Cannon MHK will be on Man in Line. And then Thursday the 18th, the penultimate Man in Line of the year, will be Nick Kay. Do you remember Nick Kay, the pharmacist? Nick the pharmacist will be in talking about pre-Christmas coughs and colds and all that, and what you should do at Christmas time. And that doesn't mean drinking Baileys or Advocar. Eggs are good for you, but not like that. Eddie's on now. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, Andy. All right, mate?
Very well, yeah. What's on your mind?
I just listened to your first caller, I think. John from Ramsey. Big John from Ramsey saying about how wonderful it is in Germany, the wind turbine.
Well, that's his opinion, yeah.
I know, it's an opinion, yeah. I'm just wondering whether he wants to try and have another look at what's going on in Germany. As you know, the Ersteyn Group have been looking at wind turbines all over the world. And if he wants to look a little bit further, he'll find that Germany is actually disowning wind farms now. They're actually opening mines, drilling again for gas, buying gas, buying, you name it. They are going totally away from it because they found it so unreliable. And they were also involved in the blackouts. They were having to either sell, I can't remember exactly, but either sell or buy electricity. It's
well, the main problem with Germany, of course, Eddie, was the fact that they fell out with Mr. Putin. They had two gas pipelines going from Russia to Germany, Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2. And obviously, when Russia invaded Ukraine, they cut the tap off. And so that's the problem. Germany's been in a pickle. Well, Germany's big issue was they closed down their nuclear power stations because of their the coalitions with the Greens in the Bundestag. So their nuclear power option went, and as you say, the fact that the gas pipelines were then cut off meant they were absolutely up the creek without a paddle.
That's right. You've just refreshed my memory a bit there. Yeah, I can't even turn a computer on. My wife does all that for me. But you can imagine, for 3 years we've been sort of gathering as much information as we can. And the fact I want to get over to Big John in Ramsey is Germany is not happy with wind. As simple as that. And we found that all over the world. Nobody's happy with it. And when this government can give us some sort of figures from Ørsted as regards how much it's going to cost us, you know, that'll be nice. But we don't get any info from the government, do we? So everything's just sort of kept secret. It's a bit of a no-go, really. If I wanted to advise anybody in the Isle of Man, you just steer away from it. After all, they said we want to be independent. How on earth are we going to be independent? I think Julian quoted some figures there. It's going to cost us $300 or $400 million just to get power that we will never have any say-so on. That don't make sense.
Well, it just depends who pays for the interconnector from Preston to Groudle. It may be that Ørsted will throw that in. I mean, it would be a very big present, but I mean, we paid for our last interconnector, the one that comes just below us at Port Skillion and goes to Bispham in Blackpool. We paid for that 20-plus years ago, and that's been very useful. So interconnectors are a good idea. They give us resilience, but, I mean, that's an awful lot of money for an interconnector. But, I mean, and again, I come back to this. We don't know. Somebody somewhere knows how much this is going to cost.
That's right, we don't know. So what we, you know, just to repeat what we've been saying again and again and again, is steer away from the actual wind and have a look at everything else. I mean, Julian says that if we did find gas out there, we would never look back again. You know, we'd become a rich island again overnight. And the technology is already proven. The infrastructure's in. Everything. That's just one thing, gas. We've got water, we've got, you name it, but we still go in this one-track routine of looking down the road of wind, which is proven right around the world, unreliable.
Well, the fact is, it's not entirely unreliable, it's just intermittent. It's intermittent.
It's unreliable, Andy. There isn't a country in the world, other than the ones who are selling the damn stuff, who say it's reliable. It is not reliable. There's, you know, they give this 25, 35-year lifespan. They had to renew all the blades on the biggest Norwegian wind farm at sea in 6 years. You know, where's the reliability? There is no reliability. They are a great idea, but unreliable. Simple as that. We should be looking at everything else as well as.
What about the people that say then, Eddie, this isn't just about money. This is about doing the right thing for future generations. Green energy, not polluting.
Well, right at the beginning of me getting involved with all this and starting to study, I gave you as many reasons as I could each day to say why it isn't green. So the argument of, you know, using this as something that's green and the way to go, the future, they are not green. Everything about wind turbines is exactly the opposite. I mean, we've got proof about the noise affecting the health of people. We've got evidence about the discharge from the blades being pollution. The blades themselves still can't be recycled. Mm. You know, everything about it. I've got 35 reasons now.
So would anything convince you, Eddie, that wind power on the Isle of Man is a good idea?
At the moment, no, nothing. But I must point out that when it was first suggested, I thought, yeah, that's brilliant. And then I started looking into it, and now I've gone completely the opposite way. And like I've said over and over again, the people of the Isle of Man are only going to get one chance on this, otherwise they'll wreck the island. So do as I did and try and find out for yourself the truth. Because everything you're getting from Ørsted and the MUA is sales, what's the word for it? Bullshit.
Well,
but it is jargon.
Okay, I'd appreciate it if you kept a civil tongue in your head. But
My apologies. Yeah, right. But you know what I mean. It's very frustrating, Andy.
All right.
And it's enough to make anybody swear, honestly.
All right. Well, thanks, Eddie. Thanks for that point of view. If you've got any thoughts on this, and I mean, obviously, there are some people who are entirely for the fact that we may get a wind farm on the Isle of Man and offshore on the Isle of Man, and some people are against it. Some for, some against. And at some point, the government and Ørsted, or whoever's going to be, I mean, obviously, the MUA will be in charge of the one at Iristein. Ørsted are in charge of the one offshore. But at some point, the public will need to know what the figures are. And if there is a compelling reason, I mean, I go back to the one politician who came up with a winning argument was Laurie Hooper. It must be 2-3 years ago. Laurie Hooper was on Man in Line, and he said, if you can tell everybody we're going to get electricity at 10p per kilowatt hour, everybody will be for it. If it were free, if we're going to be getting so much electricity, it's going to be free, everybody would be for it. But at the moment, we don't know. Uncertainty doesn't really breed, if you like, conformity. We don't know. Could you ask cyclists not to have their lights on strobe mode, as it's could cause an accident. Those you know, when cyclists have the flashing light on the front and not the constant light, strobe lights are used to confuse and disorientate people. And if you collided with a cyclist because of this, the driver would be blamed. Cyclists, please, no strobes.
Fed up sifting through applications and hitting dead ends? We get it. It's not the high-flying life a boss should have. So step away from the desk, make a coffee, and let us take the reins. Orchard Recruitment adds a refreshing change to your hiring process. Getting to know your business and culture before finding you the right people. We won't send you any old CV. We'll cherry pick. Make your next onboarding fruitful. Visit orchardrecruitment.com.
I've bought all the Christmas presents. The freezer's stocked up and I've got the decorations out the loft.
Sit down, my love. Would you like a cup of tea?
Geoffrey, have you had a blow to the head?
No, my dear. Tis the season of goodwill. I just wanted to show my appreciation.
Oh, Geoffrey, I do love you.
And I love you as well. Plus our new Spectrum windows.
A happy Christmas to all our satisfied customers and new customers to come from Spectrum Windows. Oh, and Geoffrey and the missus.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
Make Athol Airport Parking your wash-and-go partner when parking at the airport. With no advance booking required, simply park your car in the designated Athol rental return spaces right next to the terminal. Hand your key to our valet desk, and while you're away, we'll wash your vehicle and return your car to the terminal for when you get back. For prices and our full range of services, including comprehensive valeting menu, just search Athol Airport Parking online. Athol Airport Parking, part of the trusted Athol Garage Group.
The Morvanin Offshore Wind Farm isn't just about secure, renewable energy. It's a catalyst for growth. From supply chains to skilled jobs, it will help grow the Isle of Man economy. Explore the opportunities at Orsted.im.
I'm so excited. Mum says we can go to Ramsey Garden Centre to get our Christmas decorations. They've got everything for Christmas in store now. From lights and trees to decorations and lovely gifts. Our Christmas always starts with a visit to Ramsey Garden Centre. It's open every day.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 7 minutes now before one. Just a quick word about this Sunday, December the 7th. Beach Buddies are going to be at Ramsey on the Moorook. Meet in the Rugby Club car park at 10:30. The session is from 10:30 till noon. Everything is provided, all the litter pickers and the gloves and what have you and the bags, and they take everything away afterwards. If you want to help clean up the Moorook, then they'd love to hear from you. Rugby Club car park, 10:30 this Sunday for Beach Buddies. More information at beachbuddies.org.im.
When the Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
And a note in from, Desmond. Everybody, this is why everybody hates Trump. Does everybody hate Trump? President Trump, please. Because President Trump speaks the truth and calls it as it is. He says that wind turbines and solar are a green scam. And anybody with a bit of common sense can see it, apparently. The hand that rocks the cradle, remember, children are the future, so whoever teaches the children rules the future. We can't be self-sufficient and secure if we're buying gas from another jurisdiction, says this correspondent. They've been clearing the plantation above Bellure Reservoir, which would be perfect for a trial of wind turbines. Not in anyone's view, nor any property, says Ralph. Do you know something we don't know, Ralph? We should invest in a multi-million pound mini-nuclear plant, says Gaz. Create work for people and perhaps export electricity, improving our GDP. Again, something we brought up a couple of years ago. In fact, we spoke to the guy involved at Sheffield University, who was involved in this, and Rolls-Royce in Derby, who are making these mini nuclear reactors. Nuclear energy on the island. Where would you put it? where on earth would you put it? Tens of thousands of wind turbines around the globe. So why are people against it? I'm for wind turbines. Get them built, says Tony. And here's Rich with us now. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Andy. Thank you very much for having me on. I just wanted to put another aspect about the whole wind farm thing that we haven't, nobody's really spoken about, and that is for the constituents and the residents of Garth. So there's the possibilities of all this, you know, rent coming from the seabed and the, you know, renewable energy side of it. But what about how the Garth residents feel about the devastating, you know, sort of a change of view that's going to happen after these things are built and are sitting 6 miles off the coast of Garth? It's the entire stretch from Laxey Bay right up to Ramsey, sort of Queen's Pier area. All those beautiful little bays and little beaches there at Cornay and Portmore and Doon and everything. It's going to severely affect the people of Garth, and I know that doesn't really affect the people from elsewhere in the island, but that's a whole other aspect to it.
Right.
Is the Garth residents' point of view.
Well, obviously, there was a public meeting fairly recently, and most people were against the wind turbines, weren't they, Rich?
They were indeed, yes. Most people, not only those who live against the coast and have a view of it, but also people who have businesses in the area, people who have, you know, sort of accommodation or people who have tourist-related businesses in the area. It really is going to affect people terribly. And I also
All right, Rich. Well, we're out of time, Rich, but we appreciate it. We got you in right before the end. Thanks to Howie on the phones. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
WINT.